We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is the Reverend Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network, which, again, you can find at truthtellers.org. And Reverend Pike, we were talking before the last commercial break a little bit about the reasons why there is an element on the Christian right that has been so supportive of the Jewish lobby and of Israel, going all the way back to the time of Cromwell in the 17th century. Then, of course, we have the advent of dispensationalist eschatology in the first third of the 19th century with John Nelson Darby, which is probably the other historical strain that needs to be emphasized here in terms of this interesting paradoxical relationship between the establishment Christian right and the Zionist state of Israel and the Israeli lobby. But let me ask you a question, and I emphasize I do not have the quantitative data to prove this. Maybe you do. I certainly don't. But I have the feeling, and it goes all the way back to that time when I was first contacted by the Anti-Defamation League in Seattle in the late 1980s, which first began my odyssey in looking further into some of these matters. But I have the feeling that some of these groups operating under the aegis of the American Christian right are not simply friendly with the government of Israel on an informal basis, but isn't it a suspicion that some of these individuals and groups may have a more direct connection to the Israeli intelligence community, the Mossad, and also to the Anti-Defamation League domestically in this country, that could involve money trails and all kinds of things that never see the light of day in the public press?
And I know that Jerry Falwell was very public, practically boastful about receiving a brand new business jet from the Menachem Begin and the State of Israel. John Hagee down in your city of San Antonio is especially disturbing these days because he has entered into a relationship with these evil Jewish leaders, which is actually apostate in my opinion.
He has hired mine too.
Yeah, he has hired David Brog, who was the chief of staff for Senator Arlen Specter, and Arlen Specter, of course, is a big hate crimes bill supporter. He is the head of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and has supported as a Republican, but a staunch co-sponsor and so on with the federal hate bill. Here's John Hagee, who is supposedly a watchdog, a bulldog, in fact, of defense of Christians' rights, big Pentecostal. He's entered in and allowed David Brog, who is a political liberal and a conservative Jewish, but a political liberal, to actually head up his organization called Citizens or Christians United for Israel. And David Brog, speaking for Hagee recently, several months ago, came out with a statement making it very clear that Christians United for Israel will not tolerate any mention of the name of Jesus Christ in prayers or witnessing or praise of Jesus Christ in their association with the Jews of this pro-Israel organization. Now, here's Hagee, in clearest violation of the scriptural requirement that we never deny or be ashamed of the precious name of Jesus in public, and yet Hagee is giving David Brog, this Antichrist Jew, the privilege of making policy for literally thousands and thousands of evangelicals and supporting Hagee. I also understand that Hagee does claim that he believes that the people of Israel have a special dispensation of grace which makes an end run around the need for Jesus Christ.
Yes. Let's explore this business of John Hagee and Christians United for Israel a little bit further on Mark Dankos America with Ted Pike, when we return live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned. We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by the Reverend Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network. You can find the Reverend Pike's particular website at www.truthtellers.org. And Reverend Pike, we were talking about John Hagee of Cornerstone Church before this last commercial break, and discussing what quite clearly is his agenda in promoting the Zionist agenda, potentially on behalf of some other players, some other people. You were talking about David Brog, who now heads up John Hagee's Christians United for Israel. And Brog's role, I believe, is a past chief of staff for Senator Arlen Specter of Single Bullet Warrant Commission fame, and also the fact that Brog has past and present connections with some of the leading Jewish lobby organizations in the United States. Are we talking about a situation here, in your view, where John Hagee has really evolved into a virtual paid rhetorical gun for those folks who are involved in co-opting the Christian community, in getting them to support an agenda that they really don't understand? I look, for example, at his whole, Pastor Hagee's whole approach in trying to fight these so-called culture wars, which deals with the gay rights community, which deals with the abortion controversy, among others, from a traditional conservative point of view. And yet, isn't it a fact that he has an alliance, very transparent public alliance, with some of the very forces who have been promoting all of the radical left positions on homosexuality and abortion and cultural declension that the Christian right says that it's against?
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, on his website, John Hagee boasts of all the awards he's received from ADL B'nai B'rith, and he points out that he's the only, you know, religious leader who's received these coveted ADL awards. My heavens, that's a curse. That's a blemish on his career to be praised by ADL B'nai B'rith. You know, 2,000 years ago, the Pharisees apprehended the apostles Peter and John, and they strictly forbade them to witness in the name of Jesus Christ publicly. Now, here's John Hagee boasting that he is rewarded by these very Pharisees, and far from defying these Pharisees like David Brog and Arlen Specter and the ADL, he meekly goes along with them, and he denies the name of Jesus in public whenever he's in public with them, and commands his people to do the same thing. Now, Peter and John, they said, we must speak those things which we have seen and heard. And they did more than that. They said that the Pharisees had crucified Jesus Christ. And these Pharisees threw Peter and John into jail, and they flogged them and so on. And Pastor Hagee has a completely different approach from the book of Acts. He praises ADL B'nai B'rith as the giving him these awards, and he complies with their demands that he not mention the name of Jesus Christ in their presence.
Well, you know, as you look at this whole thing, I'm reminded of something that I mentioned at least one other time on this show, and that is that there was an article that came out in the San Antonio Express News on John Hagee a while back, and there was apparently an attempt on the part of this particular correspondent for the San Antonio Express News to find more out about the specifics of the money trails into the various ministries of John Hagee. And I understand that subsequent to that time, there was a reporter from the Wall Street Journal, I believe his name is Andrew Higgins, if I remember this correctly, who started trying to research some of Hagee's money links with some of the different organizations and individuals that he's quite closely linked to in public discourse. And this guy Higgins at the Wall Street Journal contacted me quite a while ago via email and said that apparently, and that San Antonio Express News confirmed this too, that apparently there was some means under current tax law where John Hagee was able to bring all of these various groupings that are working specifically on behalf of the Zionist agenda, to bring those under the aegis of his church in a way that freed him from what otherwise would have been a tax law mandate that he disclosed the sources of his money, the amounts of money, and which would have given these journalists at the Wall Street Journal and the San Antonio Express News a much better picture of who and what is behind Christians United for Israel, who and what is behind some of the other groups that are operating under the umbrella of Cornerstone Church. How does he get away with that?
Well, I don't really know. I do know that the Zionists and the ADL are penetrating into evangelical Christianity, making alliances and relationships with them, which would be unthinkable even 10 years ago. What is happening on a broad scale is that these Jews and even the Messianic Jews, and I'm very skeptical of many Messianic Jews. They are actually more vehement against me than the outright Jews, the ADL themselves. They're penetrating into Christian churches, especially in the big Pentecostal television like the Trinity Broadcasting Network, and they're getting all the Christians wearing Jewish paraphernalia. They're getting the Christians observing all the Jewish holidays. In our local main big bookstore here in Portland, Oregon, they had a special section of this large bookstore devoted to Jewish matters for the Messianic Jews, and included there was Talmudic material and the writings of Aidan Stangsaltz, which is the most eminent Jewish Kabbalist in the world today. They had Kabbalistic works there in a Christian bookstore. And so what we're seeing here is that there's a massive Judaizing effort by these evil Jewish leaders to penetrate and water down and compromise Christianity. You know, in the first century A.D., St. Paul had to really keep on guard against these Judaizers who came into the early church and attempted to persuade them to forsake pure faith in the grace of Jesus Christ and go back to circumcision and Sabbath keeping and the Jewish law and all that kind of thing. He had to bitterly reprove even the Apostle Peter. He said he stood condemned because he was allowing the church to come under renewed Jewish legalistic influence, and that's exactly what's going on today. And I'm afraid John Hagee has become an apostate because he has become embarrassed by the holy name of Jesus Christ in public.
Yes, and as you look at this whole thing, and of course we're speculating on what I'm about to ask you because I don't have the proof, but when I look at some of the, not just the fact that Hagee has these known links with these Zionist groups and individuals, but I think I read at his last major gala in Washington for the Christians United for Israel organization, that you had some of the biggest names in the Israeli government and in the American national security state who were present at this meeting.
Yes.
I'm thinking of CIA Chief James Woolsey. I'm trying to remember if Netanyahu was there or not. I don't recall. But nonetheless, you had, again, some really recognizable names, both in the Likudnik wing of the government of Israel, as well as certain obvious stars of light in the American intelligence community that managed to be seen at this thing. And then you had, as I understand it, a phone call of support placed to the Christians United for Israel by the President of the United States. Shouldn't we be pretty concerned about what these associations and links might mean, particularly as it seems that Israel is going to be successful once again in getting the United States to be involved in surrogate military activity on its behalf in the Middle East, specifically with an attack on Iran? What do you make of this?
Well, I'm working night and day, literally, to penetrate into the evangelicals and bring them truth and reality about this tremendous evil which is surrounding them and which has embedded within them. And I have a friend. I'll just give you a little confidential information on the air here. I do have a friend who has been a national writer for one of the largest Christian conservative organizations in America until very recently, and he has been to our Truth Tellers website. He's read the hate crimes bill. He's read my writings, and he's seen the light on this. And recently, he took our brochure. We have a very powerful brochure at truthtellers.org, and maybe we can find time before we're done this morning to discuss our campaign to how we can use that to defeat the hate bill. Anyway, this is a power-packed two-page brochure, which we're having people print out and send out by the hundreds of thousands right now to alert Congress concerning the hate bill. Anyway, my friend has tremendous contacts in the very highest elements of the religious right, and He sent out this brochure last week to 1,000 top Christian conservative leaders. It's a brochure entitled Hate Laws Will Make You a Criminal. It gives detailed blow-by-blow items of information about how Christians and free speech advocates have been indicted around the world. It explains the fallacies of the hate crimes theory and abuses and so on. And what I'm hoping is these thousands of brochures will begin to seep into the thinking and the consciences of these Christian leaders, and they will realize that the hate laws agenda is coming from evil Jewish leadership of ADL B'nai B'rith. It's not friendly to Christians. It's meant to entrap them, indict them, and will bring them into tremendous persecution.
We will be back with the Reverend Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network when Mark Dankos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned. We're back. This is Mark Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is the Reverend Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network of Oregon. And Reverend Pike's site, again, is
truthtellers.org.
That's right. I was getting ready to say truth teller singular. That's why I got hung up. It's truthtellers, plural, .org. I'm going to be posting information on your site, by the way, for Breaking All the Rules News, which is one of the leading paleo-conservative websites in the World Wide Web. I contribute to that along with some very fine writers and analysts, and they will receive information in the next 24 hours about this broadcast with a front-page story link to truthtellers.org and to the biography and agenda of Ted Pike. I trust that post of BATR will lead to a lot more hits on your website.
Wonderful.
And hopefully some additional participation in what you're doing in fighting some of the specific things going on with the Israeli lobby, and
yes,
especially with this hate crimes legislation.
Yeah.
We were talking, Pastor Pike, at before the last break about this whole issue of your two-page brochure dealing with a number of things that the mainstream Christian right has not wanted to talk about. Do you think that a large percentage of the folks who run some of these pro-Zionist groups in the Christian right, are they just theologically misguided, which quite clearly you and I believe that they are, or is it something more than that? Do you think that it's not simply a question of being theologically misguided, but that in some cases we could be dealing with a circumstance where powerful forces in the ADL and IPAC and elsewhere within the Israeli intelligence apparatus have come to them and said, hey, if you will be a mouthpiece for this and for this agenda, and make sure that you talk about these things and don't talk about those things, that we will support you financially? How much of that do you think is going on?
Well, I think the evangelical movement, which started big time back in the 50s with the Billy Graham revivals, has come into a period of decadence. I believe that there is compromise, there's fleshliness, there's worldliness, there's fear of man, and there's love of the praise of man, and so on, are rife within the church from the bottom to the top. And as the recent Ted Haggard scandal shows, some of these most illustrious national leaders may have skeletons in their own closet. What we have to remember about the ADL is it's the premier world spy organization. It is definitely a branch of the Mossad that was established beyond doubt back in the late 1980s in the ADL spy trials out in Los Angeles and so on. And what is going on here is that the evangelicals are extremely vulnerable to penetration by ADL agents and compromise with these evil Jews, because they are literally almost deifying these Jews, saying they virtually can do no wrong, they are holy, they are the apple of God's eye, and so on. So the evangelicals are just sitting ducks for ADL espionage and penetration. And I believe that not only is there ideological compromise of the worst kind. We're talking about Hagee and as far as denying the name of Jesus Christ, but there very well could be under the table funds from Israel if certain causes and certain emphases are regarded and promoted by the evangelicals. Now, in regard to this, there's another baffling question here which is adjacent to this, and that is, why have the evangelicals been so silent about this tremendous hate law agenda that's coming directly against them? Why is it left to me very largely to play Paul Revere and warn the country and warn the church and the nation about this evil Antichrist legislation? I believe this hate bill coming before Congress, maybe even as early as tomorrow, is the most dangerous legislation we have ever seen in this whole nation, in our entire history. Why are they so silent on this? Now, there's a certain token concern about it. We get once in a while we get an alert from Concerned Women for America, maybe a program once a year by Dobson. But there is a complete of a virtual silence about or action concerning any kind of long-term educational program and warning program about the threat of hate crimes legislation. I believe that these leaders of evangelicals probably know almost as well as you and I do that the whole hate crimes legislative agenda comes from basically a Jewish religious organization, which is ADL B'nai B'rith International. And, you know, in Webster's, in the new, the big, really big, thick, recent Webster's Dictionary, I forget the exact title, they have a very twisted definition of anti-Semitism. It says anti-Semitism is dislike of things Jewish. Now, that's a terribly misleading definition of anti-Semitism, because it says that if you dislike the ADL's hate law, if you dislike the Talmud, if you dislike the Zohar or Kabbalah, or you dislike the policies of the government of Israel, you become anti-Semitic. And these evangelical leaders want to stay away from the hate laws because it is so Jewish in origin.
It's the complete denuding of the American evangelical movement, in my judgment. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network. You can give us a call at 1-800-313-9443. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
We're back. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by the Reverend Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network, discussing this impending introduction or reintroduction of federal hate crimes legislation into Capitol Hill's hallways, and what that might mean for you and me in the days ahead in regard to freedom of speech and a whole series of other things that would fundamentally alter the character of what in the past has been the American Republic. Ted, we were talking before the break about a series of things. Let me share something with you, because when I talk with someone as knowledgeable as you are on these kinds of things related to the Anti-Defamation League and the Jewish lobby and the constituencies that are involved with that, it seems to me, as one who is a novice, speaking of myself, in regard to this whole issue of the Talmud, I'm beginning to get into this in more detail. I was never taught any of this in seminary, and I went to good seminaries. I was never exposed to this information in regard to the Jewish Talmud. I was never given any information about this whole business of the, do you pronounce it the Jewish Kabbalah or Kabbalah?
The correct pronunciation is the Kabbalah.
Kabbalah.
But there's a kind of an anglicized version, which is the Kabbalah.
Yes, okay. Well, it's that latter. That's the reason I asked you, because like the rest of Talk Show America, I tend to colloquialize things into American English and to destroy the original language, in this case, what I assume is the Hebrew. But in regard to this whole business of the Talmud and the Kabbalah, in a very brief period of time, these next however many minutes that we have, what is your understanding of the influence of these things spiritually in what we now know today as contemporary Judaism, and to what extent are these things part of what Paul talks about in regard to Ephesians chapter 6 and the powers and principalities, the demonic powers and principalities that will be working in with and through world governments. Go ahead with this.
Well, in a nutshell, and maybe I could just state this, that I would like a little bit of time to really point out exactly what we can do to defeat the hate bill. We've defeated the hate bill three times in the last 2 years through mass participation with us. And I'll give you an overview, and then maybe we could go into some of the details of what everybody can do to make sure this never gets in Congress this term.
Absolutely.
Yes, you know, 2,000 years ago, Jesus encountered a group of religious leaders in Palestine called the scribes and the Pharisees. He said that they had overturned the law of God. They had made it of none effect. What basically happened was that when the southern kingdom of Judah was taken into Babylonian captivity about 597 B.C., they went into a very pagan, extremely pagan center of antiquity, Babylon. And there were all kinds of occult influences and so on. And a group of religious teachers arose in Babylon called the scribes, or the sophurim, meaning the wise persons. These ultimately came back, some of them came back to Palestine, and became the scribes and Pharisees. And the scribes and Pharisees had a very distorted view of the Bible, of the Old Testament. They said that they could discern, or they could divine, very, very different interpretations of the law of Moses through numerology, through all kinds of tricks with the vowels and consonances and the numerical equivalents of the Hebrew alphabet and so on, and come up with radically different interpretations of the Mosaic law, most of which was flat out in contradiction to everything God tried to teach the Hebrews through the law of Moses. Anyway, Christ didn't blast the harlots, he didn't blast the politicians, but he went after the Pharisees because he knew that they were the foundation for an Antichrist world system which would someday envelop the whole world. Now, after the destruction of Jerusalem and the Bar Kokhba rebellion about around 134 A.D., the Jews were dispersed, and many of them went back to Babylon, where 90% of the Jews were already living from Judah. Many were in the Mediterranean areas and so on. But in Babylon, this oral tradition of the Pharisees became codified as the vast, rambling Babylonian Talmud. And the Talmud, written by the Pharisees, is now the greatest legal and ethical authority for all religious observant Jews in the world today. That means the Reformed Jews, the Conservative Jews, the ultra-Orthodox Jews, and the Orthodox in the middle are all adherents, basically, of Pharisaism. Now, the Kabbalah, coming out of the book of the Zohar, meaning light or splendor, is the mystical companion of the Talmud. The Zohar basically is extremely racistic, teaching that only Jews are truly human, that the Gentiles or the Goyim are subhuman animals, demons, meant to be dominated and controlled by Israel, which is the Shekinah of God. And all throughout the Talmud, the Kabbalah, we find very, very strong statements saying that it's the purpose of Israel to restore order in this world, which has been brought to chaos by Christians and Gentiles, ultimately to take over this world and restore Hebrew monotheism to this planet, and basically to destroy all the idolaters, which means very largely followers of the false prophet Jesus Christ. And so this Talmudic conspiracy continues today, very alive, very focused in crashing and tearing down Christian civilization. That's why we find Abe Foxman, who is the head of the ADL. The ADL is behind all these hate laws, but we find Abe Foxman not some kind of atheistic, communistic, secular Jew. Abe Foxman, head an adjunct of B'nai B'rith International, is a pious Orthodox Jew. In his recent book called Never Again, The Threat of the New Anti-Semitism, I document this in some articles at Truth Tellers. Foxman boasts very proudly that he's an Orthodox Jew. He has, in fact, he was a member of an Orthodox congregation in Teaneck, New Jersey, and he split from them a few years ago because they weren't praying. They weren't praying and interceding as passionately for the state of Israel as he, a more pious, observant Jew, thought they should be praying for Israel. That shows how that this Antichrist system, Adiel B'nai B'reth, which aligns itself with homosexuals, which tears down the crosses, which funds legal assaults on Ten Commandments and courthouses and so on, all of this anti-Christianity is coming from basically Adiel B'nai B'reth International, which is a Talmudic religious system. And so what we have is Adiel B'nai B'reth being given a mandate by our government to administer the hate crimes program, and they are now initiating the hate crimes bill into Congress, attempting to perform basically a religious objective. Foxman says he is waiting for the Messiah. Now, that's not the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He's waiting for the Antichrist. He's waiting for a false Messiah who will dominate the world and extirpate Christianity from the world. Now, if I could just get into the nuts and bolts of how we can defeat Foxman right now. This is very important, especially right today, because literally a year ago on Friday, the ADL introduced their hate bill into Congress. We do not want them introducing this bill into the House and Senate committees now, because Congress is overloaded with Democrats who will speed it through the House and Senate committees, run it onto the floor, and it will get passed. And I have no doubt that Bush may very well approve it. So here's what we're doing right now. We have defeated the hate bill three times in the past 3 years, and here's how we can do it right now. As I mentioned earlier, we have a very powerful two-page brochure which can be printed front and back at truthtellers.org. Go to Truthtellers, print out that brochure. You can do it on your printer or take it to the local copy shop. It's a power-packed document which rips the veil off of the whole hate crimes agenda in countries around the world and what the ADL wants to do in America. Now, in Congress, every senator, a congressman or congresswoman has a staff of legislative aides. These are legal experts who are there to influence that member of Congress to make suggestions of what kind of legislation to push or not to push and so on. We have at Truth Tellers the list of the legislative aides for the entire Congress. That is 10 of the select most roughly 8 or 10 of the most influential legislative aides in Congress. We have their addresses there. All you have to do to exert tremendous clout right now to defeat the federal hate bill is to print out about 30 of these brochures. They're ready to address, ready to put a stamp on, and go down the list, and you can find the congressman from your district, maybe 8 or 10 aides there. You can find the 2 senators from your state, another 20 aides. Copy those names out and get those brochures in the mail. They will go right into the very inner workings of every member of Congress's office in Washington, D.C. These congressional aides will read this brochure, because you are a constituent from their district. You have the power next time around to vote out their boss and vote them also out of office. And you see, when they see your zip code on that brochure, they'll say, hey, I better listen to these people. These people are sending these to me. I better be accountable and at least glance at what they're saying. And when they see what's inside that brochure, their hair will stand on end, because they've never heard anything like this before. They've been victims of ADL propaganda. They're in a bubble there on the Capitol, in the Beltway. They have no idea what hate laws have done throughout the world. When this brochure gets there, it's going to revolutionize the whole hate crimes agenda in Washington, D.C. And I'm hoping we can totally saturate the congressional offices with hundreds and thousands of these brochures, and so the ADL will not even have the nerve next year to come around and try to introduce the hate bill.
And again, that brochure can be downloaded at www.truthtellers.org.
Yes. And we also do have another program for real go-getters of a 7-week program of calling using toll-free numbers there. You can call every member of Congress toll-free. We're encouraging people to take about 15 minutes out every day for the next 7 weeks before you go to work or during your lunch hour and make these toll-free calls. It'll only take you about 15 minutes using your redial to give a simple message of protest there against the hate bill. So this is a major assault on Congress. It's worked before. We have destroyed the ADL's efforts three times in the last 2 years, and this is how to do it again. But it's a tremendous investment. It'll take about $10 to send off these 30 brochures to the congressional aides, but it's a tremendous, tremendous investment in the freedom of speech for your children and grandchildren.
Yes, and I just wanted to affirm something else that you've already mentioned, Ted, and that is that for people who know how Capitol Hill works, having direct interaction with these legislative assistants is absolutely key to that whole thing ultimately coming before the congressman or senator in question, because it's a fact well known to people who have experience in working with these people on Capitol Hill that if you know the so-called L.A., or legislative assistant or assistance to that particular congressman or senator, you can funnel all kinds of things in the direction of that L.A. That will ultimately be paid attention to on the part of the congressman or senator in question if you're sending it to one of your actual representatives. They'll see the zip code. They'll understand that you're a constituent of that particular congressman or senator, and those legislative assistants will take it very, very seriously. Again, if for no other reason, then they know that if their particular boss loses the next fight for re-election, that they're going to be out of a job.
That's right. And we don't have to be timid or skeptical about sending these brochures to liberals, too, because right now, just this last year, there's been a major trial in England against liberals who criticized Islam. Christians in Australia were indicted for criticizing Islam, and liberals are not safe anymore. These hate laws can turn on liberals, and that's what I say in this brochure. And so this is an attempt to wake up the liberals too and get them to defect away from the ADL support of the hate bill.
Yes, Ted, do you perceive that as more people find out about this hate crimes legislation, and what's behind it and who's behind it, principally the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. And as we look at the possibility, a very strong possibility, that Israel's agenda in widening this war in the Middle East, using the United States as a surrogate military force or becoming more directly involved themselves in an attack on Iran, do you think that all of these things will coalesce over time into a nationwide backlash against the influence of the Israeli lobby in the politics and culture of this country?
Well, you know, this hate crimes issue is a wonderful transition issue. You see, I'm bringing evangelicals now into the awareness that the evil Jewish leaders that they thought were so wonderful, the apple of God's eye, are actually attempting to persecute them through the hate laws. And several years ago, 2 years ago in October, there were 11 Christians in Philadelphia who were incarcerated and arrested for violation of the ADL's Pennsylvania hate laws for the hate crime of simply witnessing to homosexuals during a huge gay pride rally there in the public square in Philadelphia. And that was masterminded by Lynn Abraham, who is the district attorney of Philadelphia. She's also a top honcho of the ADL, a national ADL executive director. And what happened there was that was kind of the beginning of the eyes opening, the scales falling from their view as they saw these evil Jewish leaders, not their friends anymore, not loving and amenable, but actually getting in the driver's seat of persecution, real vicious persecution against Christians. Lynn Abraham, one of those Christians, locked away for 37 years in prison and $90,000 fines each, including for a 17-year-old girl, for the hate crime of witnessing to homosexuals. Now, this is part of a pattern of ADL indiscretions going too far, which I capitalize on in talk radio, and I use this to open eyes, the eyes of evangelicals, and begin to create a rift. I want to create a rift between these evangelicals and these evil Jewish leaders who are fleecing them, deceiving them, and ultimately intend to persecute them very bitterly in the years ahead.
Ted, to what extent would you say as a Christian pastor, looking at this theologically for a moment, that if you're successful, if the National Prayer Network is successful in mobilizing people along these lines, and you have a significant wedge that is placed between the evangelical establishment and the Jewish community, when we come back from the break, I want to discuss the possible implications of that wedge if you're successful in allowing it to come to pass or working toward that end. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with Ted Pikes. Stay tuned. We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're with the Reverend Ted Pike today of the National Prayer Network, talking about hate crimes legislation at the federal level and why it is absolutely essential that this legislation be stopped dead in its tracks. And to reiterate what Ted has already shared with us today, if you go to www.truthtellers.org, truthtellersplural.org, you can download the brochure that he speaks of and make sure that hate crimes legislation brochure winds its way to the legislative assistance of your congressmen and your two United States senators. Ted, if you're successful as God wills, if you're successful in really driving a wedge between the institutional evangelical Christian right and the Talmudists on the other hand, if you're successful in that effort, will it not be a situation where it not only results, hopefully, in the recovery of our republic, but for those who more narrowly are Orthodox Catholics or Orthodox Lutherans or Protestant evangelicals of some sort, won't this also be such a key thing in the recovery of a church that has really gone bad in the last 50 years?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, what I'm praying for is national spiritual revival. This is not just a political rehabilitation of our nation. We have to turn to God, and that's also a key factor in this, is that God has promised that if his people will look unto him and fast and pray and humble themselves before him, he will hear from heaven and heal their land. So this is a double-pronged approach of political activism, but it's also of humbling ourselves before God, repenting and turning from our national sins. Now, also, my eschatology basically believes that God does have an unfinished destiny for a remnant out of Israel, and that at the second coming of Jesus Christ, he will finish his great controversy with Zion, and he will procure a believing remnant of Jews who will come to him in repentance and look upon him whom their fathers pierced and so on. And the tragedy is that the ADL, by creating so much bad blood against Jews throughout the world, actually stimulates anti-Semitism. ADL takes away free speech in all these nations. ADL goes after the Christian symbols and so on and observances and values and promotes homosexuality. All this stimulates anti-Semitism, vulgar, old-fashioned anti-Semitism against the Jews collectively, so that the Jewish people corporately are being blamed for what an elite of evil Jewish leaders and activists are doing largely at the top. And so the one great benefit, I believe, from getting things straight concerning the evil Jewish leadership and authorization of all this kind of legislation is that it spares the Jewish people from being tarred as anti-Christian and spares them from possible real persecution and anti-Semitism in the years ahead. One of my favorite verses out of Romans 10:1 is Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for them, that is for the Jews, is for their salvation."
Reverend Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network, thank you so much for being on Mark Dankos America, coming to you live today from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can find Reverend Pike's site at www.truthtellersplural.org. Download that brochure, fire it off to your congressman's L.A. God bless you. See you tomorrow.